Scripture reading is Numbers chapter 10, 29 through 32. Then Moses said to Hobab, the son of Reuel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, "We are setting out to the place of which the Lord said, 'I will give it to you.' Come with us, and we will do you good, for the Lord has promised good concerning Israel." But he said to him, "I will not come, but rather go to my own land and relatives." Then he said, "Please do not leave us, inasmuch as you know where we should camp in the wilderness, and as you will be eyes for us. So the Lord does for us, we will do for you."
Good morning. We have certainly been looking forward to this day for quite some time now. So we've made a lot of preparations, and we get to see the fruit of that as we get to spend time here this morning. It's good to see so many new faces here, new to me, because I may not have met you because you were around before I got here. It's great to see faces return as we've had a lot of family that have come back into town, ones that essentially I'd say grew up here for many different reasons. It has been a lot of love that has been shared already today, and I'm looking forward to more opportunity, especially as we get to do that and enjoy a meal together. You can't beat that kind of hospitality that we get to share together, and that's what the church is all about, that we are a family and we get to be together. I know Bob mentioned about the history of the Dalrata Church of Christ. This is an excellent thing that he has put together that we get to see. So much great work that has gone into the Lord's church here at Dalrata. You probably have gotten distracted by it if you picked up one of these copies and just started flipping through and look at all the things that have happened. Our members that have come through and new members to the Lord's church and those that left. And this is really rewarding. And so I appreciate Bob and others that have put all the hard work into getting these printed. And I hope that you will take a copy with you. If you're here with us this morning and you are you're not familiar with us in the sense of that you haven't been worshiping with us and you're just passing through, you may have a visitor card in front of you, or you may have a prayer request card, something along those lines. Will you please write your name down and your phone number and any other contact information, including your address? You can write it on the back, and if you have a prayer request, you can put it on the front too. But take one of these. I know that there are pencils that work and pens that work because our young kiddos went through this whole auditorium and made sure those were available. Will you write your information here and just pass it to somebody that's sitting next to you, and they'll make sure that we collect all of it because we want to know that you're here so we can stay in contact with you and keep those lines of communication open. So please do that. That will certainly help us. As we've been looking forward to this day, our homecoming, this has been very special for us as a church. We've been in prayer about this for a while. When we first sat down with our leadership, our elders, and our ministry staff, we were talking about, okay, we're going to go in October, and we're going to do our homecoming celebration together. What are we going to do? What are we going to talk about? And that's what began our prayer together, that this would be a time where people can come back home. Those that have, that grew up here, maybe you graduated from our youth group, and you went to a school. You got married, and you went somewhere else. A job caused you to change. You're here. For those that are visiting that came back here, maybe you went to just a different part of town. As we talked about this morning, there are many different congregations of the Lord's church here. And if you decide to worship with us this morning, we are grateful for that. It's also good to look around the room and see some faces that we haven't seen in a while. We are glad that you are back here with us. A lot of work went into our weekend. We had a lot of great things going on yesterday and continue that today. Time would fail us, and I wouldn't want to embarrass anybody to talk about all the things that have been done. Little things that you may not have noticed that got dusted and cleaned. Little things that got put together, or big things as you are getting ready to go to our meal right after this, that you'll see some displays that are set up in the foyer. Showing and talking about who we are as a church. We have the scriptural guidance from the Word of God, but these are what you're going to see things that we are doing, works that we're involved in, that are exemplifying when we take the Word of God serious. This is what we do as a church. And so I appreciate all those that put the hard work into making sure those are done. This is a special day as we get to study God's Word together and worship Him. That's what makes it unique. And we get to do it as a family. Before we begin our lesson, let's spend some more time in prayer. Let's pray together. Lord our God, we come before you very grateful that you have allowed us to have this day. We rejoice in a lot of different things. We get to share memories together and rekindle friendships and make new connections. But we are here because of your great love that you have shown to us. And we want to lift you up and worship you because of that. Thank you for letting us do that as a family and giving us a family that we get to in a place that we get to call home, not because of a building, not because of any name that we wear other than the name Christian, that we want to look like your son. Thank you for allowing us to be clothed in him so that we can have a home here. But more importantly, we get to be with you for all of eternity when this life is over. We look forward to that day when your son comes back, if we get to witness that, or that all of us, as we get to be part of that resurrection. But until then, help us to work in your kingdom, showing glory and honor to you in everything that we do. We love you very much and praise to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. The passage that we're going to be studying this morning comes from Numbers chapter 10, 29 through 32. As I said, we sat down as a group trying to decide, all right, what are we going to do for homecoming? What kind of activities are we going to put together? What kind of invites are we going to do? But we also wanted to spend time, what would this look like from a spiritual sense? As we have devotionals, and we had a day of devotionals yesterday, and as we got to study God's Word this morning, and is what we're going to continue to do. And we're sitting together, and one of our elders, John Cackleman, was sitting there, and he started thumbing through his Bible, and he says, I think about Hobab, don't you? No, I don't know who Hobab is, to be honest. And why does that come to your mind? And he said, I've got the verse that we need to talk about from Numbers chapter 10. And so he opened up his Bible and he said, I've been studying, and this story makes me think about homecoming. And I thought it was so fitting and so appropriate for a number of different reasons. And that's what we're going to spend our time considering this morning. Numbers chapter 10. I'm going to get a little bit of background, essentially what is going on in this chapter, in this book. And then we're going to look at three points that we can learn and take with us. Numbers chapter 10, starting in verse 29. We'll read it again in our time right now. And Moses said to Hobab, the son of Reuel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law. So he's speaking to a family member. He says, we're setting out for the place of which the Lord said, I will give it to you. Come with us, and we'll do good to you, for the Lord has promised good to Israel. But he said to him, I will not go. I'll depart to my own land and to my kindred. And he said, please don't leave us, for you know where we should camp in the wilderness. And you serve as eyes for us. And if you go with us, whatever good the Lord will do to us, the same we will do to you. As a church, we've been studying the book of Exodus on Sunday mornings, and it's been very rewarding to know that the whole church has been working through this in our adult classes. And we've been talking about events leading to this moment right here, where they have the Israelites came up out of Egypt by God's strong arm. He has protected them all along the way, and they have learned how to have a relationship with him as they came out of bondage. They came out of suffering, and God led them by the hand, as the scriptures say, into the wilderness at the mountain of Sinai. And he did incredible things through the plagues. He did incredible things with the Red Sea. And now the Israelites are standing at a mountain where God is revealing his will to them in the form of the law. And they're looking up and they're seeing fire and lightning and thunder over this mountain where Moses goes up to receive the commandments. And he comes down and he teaches them what God has said to his people. And they put together the tabernacle with all of its vessels and the place that's going to be in the center of their camp that's going to lead them, the place where they're going to come to worship. And when they head out into the wilderness and when they're getting ready to go to the promised land, because that's what they're going to do, they're going to the place that God had promised to his people. It's been 400 years plus since someone had been in that land. And he says, look, it's time for us to go. We have all the preparations that are made. The tabernacle is ready. God's presence has been here, because when the tabernacle was put together and the Ark of the Covenant was there, God would come over it with a cloud. And it says, look, it's time for us to go. And so they're going to pack up camp, literally. If you keep reading or you read back in Numbers chapter 10, it says they packed up camp and they're getting ready to move out. It's time to go to the promised land. All the preparations have been made. It's time to go to the place that God gave Abraham and his descendants. You know, because in that land is where God's name can be found. And he'll set up a place, a more permanent structure through Solomon later on where his name will be found in the temple. But what we find with the Israelites is that God is with them. So wherever the Israelites are, God is with them. That makes me think a lot about this church. Not just the church that meets here at Dalreda, but as we studied this morning, the church that Christ died for. That's where God can be found. In this room, we get to share in a part of that. The Lord's church that meets here at Dalreda. This is where God can be found. This is where He is worshipped because we as children of God, we have been brought out of bondage of sin. And we have been saved so that we may glorify God. And where we are is where the Lord is. And here we are today, sitting here together as the church. The Lord can be found here. So all the preparations have been made. They're getting ready to go into the wilderness. Now we know the rest of the story. They're going to spend 40 years in the wilderness, 40 plus years through all their travels and everything, getting to the promised land because of the things that are going to come after. But minimally, they just know we're going to the promised land. They don't know what awaits them. They don't know the journey in front of them. They just know where they want to go. As we supply the information, we know what happens along the way. As you start thumbing through the pages, maybe just jump down to chapter 11, verse 1, you find what the people do immediately afterwards. But for the sake of our time this morning, as we're going to think about this conversation that Moses has with Hobab, I think this sets a precedent for us and how we work as a church and how we get to interact with one another. Moses is speaking to his family member. And he's telling him, look, we're going to be leaving and we want you to go with us. We don't know everything that's on the way, but we know where we're going. We want you with us. There are going to be 3 points that we're going to learn from these few verses about the story of Hobab. The first one that I want us to consider is this idea. Come with us. We're going somewhere and we want you with us. So think about when Abraham was first given the promise in Genesis chapter 12. He didn't know where he was going, did he? In Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, God tells Moses, I'm going to send you to a land that I'm going to give you. You're going to have a great nation that I'm going to give you. You're going to be blessed with blessings I'm going to give you. You got to go. And you'll find it when you get there. I'll show you where it's going to be. Now for Moses, though, in the Israelites, God says, I'm sending you to the place that you know of. You know the way. Now, you need some guidance to get there as you're going to be going through the wilderness, and that's going to play out in just a moment, isn't it? You're going to the promised land. It's not the same as Abraham. He didn't know where he was going. We have our eyes set on a goal that's right in front of us. The Israelites knew exactly where they were going. They just didn't know what the journey was going to be like, but they knew it wasn't going to be easy. When the entire crowd of people, they are going to have questions. Where are we going to get our food? Where are we going to sleep? What if enemies come our way? How are we going to handle these things? They had a lot of questions. Questions are okay. We ask that when we go on a trip, don't we? Many of you that came into town, you packed up your family from wherever you came from, and you decided to come to town. Some of you, you're staying with family. Isn't it easy when you go to stay with family? Especially grandpa and grandma, because you don't have to worry about food. You have to worry about how much food am I going to eat, but you don't have to worry about what am I going to eat. Some of you packed up with your kids and you loaded the cars with your babies and you hit the road and, you know, whether it was just 45 minutes down the road or 4 hours down the road, you know, traveling's not easy. Even if you have all the preparations that are made, you know, I'm coming back to Montgomery. Many of you, you grew up here, you came to college here, and you married, and you've got your families, and you live somewhere else, but you came here, and you know what, I'm familiar. I heard other people talking about, as soon as I hit the streets here, I knew where I was. It was easy for the car just to go on to where it needed to go. When you know where you're going, there's comfort. It feels like home. Some of you, just out of curiosity, I wonder how many of you, when you came here, that maybe you've been moved away for a while, did you go buy your old rental house, your old house that you once lived in and thought about those memories? When you're home, you're familiar. It's somewhere that has comfort, but there's still things that are involved in a trip. Have you ever been on a trip where you didn't have all the details? I remember in college, we would load up the car and let's say, you know, we're going to go down to the beach. We're going to go up to the mountains. We're going to go camping. Well, what are we going to do? I don't know. We'll figure out when we get there. That's easy when you're single. It's easy when you don't have a lot. You can just hop in the car and grab a loaf of bread and some peanut butter. It's like, I'm good with food. I'm going to handle it on the way and we'll be all right. But the more that we grow and the more familiar we get with things, it's a little harder to move, isn't it? We want a little more accommodations. I used to be able to pack everything in a bag, just a backpack, and throw it on my shoulder. Everyone else has to get packed first, right? I'm not the one packing them. My wife does it for the whole family, and maybe she'll throw some clothes in there for me. But, you know, it gets harder. The more comfortable that we get, there's a lot more that's involved. And I think we're going to see this come out with Hobab as well. There are some concerns. There's questions that you may have. As Moses is speaking to other people, specifically his family says, I want you to go with us. What Moses knows, inside track essentially, because he's been talking with God and he's been sharing it with the Israelites, he's now speaking to his family. This is his father-in-law's family. And he's saying, we want you to go with us because where we're going is going to be much better than what you're experiencing right here. What you're in right now, where we're going to a land flowing with milk and honey. We're going to a land that is already prepared for us. It's going to have houses. It's going to have food. It's going to have everything that we need. We just got to get there. Please come and go with us. There are so many parallels to the church. When you think about this being a home, we want you here with us. Not just so that we can say, this is Dalrada Church of Christ, and this is how many people here. That's not the case at all. We want you in the church. We want you in Christ. Because where home is, it's comfortable. Right? When we get to the end of our day and we're ready to go home, or maybe you're at the end of a trip and maybe some of you are already thinking, I'm just ready to get home. You know, I know the work day starts or the work week starts tomorrow, but I'm just ready to be home in my bed. Home is a place where we feel safe. Home is a place where we can relax, a place that we can escape from things that are bearing on us and holding us down. Home is a place where we can set down our roots and grow. Home is a place where we can be transparent, where we can be ourselves. And I'm just talking about our physical accommodations that we have in our houses around here. But think about, don't those same things apply to the church? This is a place where we can feel safe together. When we walk in these doors and we start making eye contact with one another and we start going in for hugs, that this is the safe place where it doesn't matter what's been happening in the world. We get to put it on each other's shoulders. We don't have to go through things alone. We can be ourselves. We don't have to walk in with a pretense and with a face on. No, we get to come in and just, at times we just need to bury our head in somebody's shoulder and say, I need help. Family, home is where we get to do that. When we go together with God, that's what we get to have in a family. We don't have to be alone. This is a place where we get to put down our roots. We get to grow our family. I know for me in my time here, I came here as a single young man in college. And now I have a family. And I've been able to enjoy the blessings of being able to work here, but I am just a member here. And I love that because this is family for me. And I know you feel the same way for those of you that are here. It's not, you know, some of you have big families and they are here as well. And the extensions of that. But isn't it nice when you get to walk into this assembly or into a Bible class or a breakfast or whatever event's going on and whew, I'm home. Doesn't matter what has happened. I get to be here with people I love and who love me. You see, when Moses was offering this to Hobab, he says, look, I know that we're family, we're kin, but I want you to go with me somewhere. I want you to have what I have, and it's God. See, of all those connections that we have, what we really have that's the most important, this is where God can be found, in His church, in His people. Of all of our different walks, you know, I love just listening to these connections because if it wasn't for Christ, if it wasn't for God, would we all be in this same room together? No way, no how. What God is able to do is bring us all from different walks and different ways and create a family that we could not even imagine. And that's interesting when you think about Abraham, when God told him, I'm going to give you a family you can't even imagine. Because Abraham tried to make it happen, didn't he? He didn't have any children, and God said, I'm going to give you a family you can't even fathom. And what we find in the New Testament, what we find through Jesus, is that we get to have a family in Him. More than we can think and more than we can imagine. The church should be important to us. You see, just as Abraham's promise and Moses sharing this with Hobab, he says, look, we're going to the promised land, and yes, there are going to be physical things that are there that we get to enjoy. But what we realize is that that promised land is just an example. It is just a physical place, but it's a glimpse into what heaven will be like. And that's what the church is as well. This is just a glimpse into what heaven's going to look like. Because when we are in heaven, as the book of Revelation describes, all people, all nations, those who serve God and follow after the will of God, they're going to be with Him. Listen to the perspective of Abraham in Hebrews chapter 11. And it's the same hope that all of these men shared and all these families are sharing. In Hebrews chapter 11, looking at verse 8, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him as according to the same promise. Here's the key. Verse 10, for he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Jump down to verse 13. Speaking of these individuals, they all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land from which they had gone out, they wouldn't have had no opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared for them a city. Where we are going is heaven. Will you come with us? The next thing that we find in Numbers chapter 10 is Hobab's response and the encouragement that is given to him by Moses. And he says, don't leave us. We're going somewhere and we don't want you to leave us. Look again back here in Numbers chapter 10. After he offers the invitation to him in verse 29 and tells him all the information about where they're going and what the trip's going to be like, essentially in verse 10, Hobab said to him, I will not go. I will depart to my own land and to my kindred. And he said, please don't leave us. Please don't. You know, I think about in this moment, a physical family where they may not be on the journey with him. And Hobab says, look, I'm not going to go. And his excuse is broken into two parts. I'll depart to my own land and to my kindred. This kind of response, it's interesting, is exactly what maybe people say when it comes to Christianity and the church. There's a parable that Jesus gives that's recorded in Luke chapter 14, 12 through 24. It's part of a longer conversation Jesus is having with people. And he's telling them about the kingdom of God and who's going to be there. And in this particular passage in Luke chapter 14, he says there's going to be this great banquet. And the one who's hosting the banquet goes out and invites all those that are close to him. He says, you come. And when the banquet comes here and they're going along and people don't show up and they're having a conversation like, why are you not coming? Somebody says, look, I bought a new field and I need to go check it out. I just married, or I just bought a yoke of oxen. I need to look at them. I just married a wife. And all three in turn said, I can't come. Do you see the same excuses that Jesus reiterates in Luke chapter 14 is the same that Hobab says in Numbers chapter 10? My land and my family. You see, when we get caught up in possessions, we get caught up in the things here in front of us, we get distracted about where we can go. We can't serve two masters. We'll either love the one and hate the other, or we'll be devoted to one and despise the other. We cannot serve God and money. And it's not just one becoming our God, and that's what Jesus is talking about, but where we get so comfortable where we are and what's familiar that we're not willing to leave that behind to go to somewhere better. The things that tie us back from being able to serve God come in the physical form a lot. They stop us from advancing in the way that we need to go. And even here, when he talks about family, I think Hobab is not seeing how big that this can go. Essentially, bring your family with you. You don't have to leave them behind. Abraham had instructions about family ties, but what we find, even when they left Egypt, that anybody who wanted to go with the Israelites, they're able to go. Hobab, you tell your family, you load up the bus and we all go together because we want to go where God is. The reality is that Christianity disrupts life in a good way. When we walk before God, we get to be with His church and His people. And right here, shortly after this, we find people complaining. Complaining can hinder the work. It can stop us from going. I think recounting this same thing, there's another passage in Hebrews chapter 3 that makes this point very clear for us. And the admonition that we need to have for one another. In Hebrews chapter 3, starting in verse 12, "Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God." Oh, what separates us from God? It's when our heart is not right. Whether you're talking about the parable of the sower and the different types of the soil, you know, the heart is what receives the word of God. Some people have small growth. Some people have great growth. Some people get choked out by the thorns and the cares of the world. And others, Satan comes in and he snatches that away. But when the heart is right, when the soil is right, and when the seed is planted, it grows and it gives forth and it produces things that we can't even imagine. The fruit is there. So don't allow an unbelieving heart to cause you to fall away from the living God. Please don't leave us. Verse 13, "But exhort one another every day as long as it's called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." Sin will harden hearts. It stops people from going. Hobab's concern and his worries about what's going to happen along the way and maybe a potential for complaining, he says, no, look, don't let your heart lead you away from God. Sadly, the Bible is filled with examples of people whose heart was not dedicated to God. Solomon, one of the wisest men that ever walked on the earth, we're told that his heart was turned away from God. You know, as we said, that family is an important place. Home is important. If you haven't been with us, we miss you. You know, home is where we can have the hard talks. You know, I think about maybe times in our lives where we felt bad or awkward for coming home. I don't know if you've ever been in one of these situations. Let's say that you lost a job because of some decision that you made. Was it hard to walk in the door of your home, having to talk about what happened? Was it hard to walk into your door at home if maybe you said something, you did something that hurt your family? Have you ever made a bad financial decision that impacted your family and it was hard to walk in the door? Have you ever made a bad moral decision where you were too ashamed or too embarrassed to walk in the door? But once you got past that point, or you saddled up and you walked in, you said, "I need to talk." What was awaiting you? Now, I know it's a challenging conversation. I'm not trying to say that makes it easy, but what does make it easier is that when family's there. Family's where you can walk in and say, I messed up. I was wrong. I did something I should not have done. That's what we get to say together. Here's the hard talk. If you haven't been here with us, and this is your first time back in a while, we love you, and we are glad to see you. And if decisions have been made, we want to bear that burden with you, and we want to forgive you. Look, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and he's referring to people who were caught up in sin, he says, "Such were some of you." He said, the church is filled with people that have come out of the world. We have burdens and baggage of where we've been. We've all been there in the sense that we used to be in the world, but now we're in Christ. We want to bear one another's burdens, as Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 speaks of. Such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. Paul says in Ephesians, he says, we forgive one another as Christ has forgiven us. We're ready to forgive because God forgives. We're glad you're here. But more importantly, we want you to go with us. We don't want you to leave us. And what causes us to leave God is a heart dedicated to sin. We're stronger when you're here. As Moses was convincing Hobab to come, he says, look, you have great talents and things that we need here as a group. He tells him, he says, you got the eyes. You've been in the wilderness. You can help us along the way. What's interesting right after that is that God is going to lead the Israelites through the wilderness by fire and smoke and clouds and all these things. But he still says, you have a purpose in this. God sets our path. He tells us where we're going to go, but he lets us be a part of it. That's what the church gets to do, is that we get to work together and we get to be a body of believers working. We need you here. You're important. As you see the displays that are over here, you'll see what the church is able to do when we work together as a family. You have something important to add. You are significant to Christ, and that makes us significant together. Don't leave us. So let's do good together. As we conclude our lesson this morning, we rejoice in homecoming. At the end of the day, what is promised in Numbers chapter 10, he says, whatever good is done to us because of God's, you get to share in. What we get to share in together is what God is doing with us. We could spend our time, and I know we're going to spend more time. What's been going on? What's been happening? How has God been blessing you? How have you been glorifying God? Tell me about your walk with Christ. Tell me how you've been with the church. How is your spiritual life? Let's talk about the good things that God is able to do with us. That's part of what this relationship is like. This is what we get to enjoy as Christians. But there is work to be done. And the Dalreda Church is actively seeking a way to serve God. Do good with us. You have skills and you have talents. We are created in Christ Jesus for good works. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 and following. There's work to be done as a family of God. I'm so glad that you're here today. I'm glad that you are back home. If you've been away because you've been with family and jobs and all those, I'm glad you're passing through. You have a home here. But it may be a part of our time this morning that some of you are not a part of the family of God. There is only one way to God, and it's through Jesus. Jesus came to this world to die for our sins. And he says, I need you to die to your sin by believing in him, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and being baptized into Christ, being united in a death like his and a burial like his, so you can rise to walk in newness of life. If you're not a part of the family of God, will you make that decision today and come with us? Maybe this morning you've been away from God. Will you come back to him? Don't leave us. We're going together. If you've been struggling with a sin, and maybe it's public, will you share it with us? We want to forgive you because we all have been forgiven in Christ. Please don't bear it alone. Please don't walk away from here with just a full belly. Walk away with a cup filled with love and forgiveness from God. Can we help you in any way? The family's here. Let us know as we stand and as we sing.